This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to It's All Political, the San Francisco Chronicle's political podcast. I'm Joe Garofoli, the Chronicle's senior political writer, and today on the podcast, we are talking midterms, specifically those hot midterm races, those House races in California that people have been hearing about for more than a year. My guest is the big man, John Wildermuth, the veteran Chronicle political writer, my colleague in crime here at the Chronicle. He just spent a lot of time in Orange County, which is the center of the political universe. Yes, believe it. And I just spent some time in the Central Valley, specifically places like Turlock and Modesto and Manteca, which is getting a ton of political attention right now. We talk about the midterms next on It's All Political. John Wildermuth, welcome back to It's All Political.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
The big man is in the house. We've spent the last several days in California, in parts of California where there are hotly contested House races that could flip the Congress to the Democrats or leave it in the hands of the Republicans.
Yeah, it's a reminder that the world doesn't end at the Bay Area borders.
In fact, we're largely irrelevant in the House races. You were in Southern California, in Orange County. Tell us where you were, first of all.
I was in Orange County for 3 days last week, all around. And there's four congressional districts that where Hillary Clinton actually won a majority in 2016, and they are held by Republicans, and they are Democrats are looking to flip them. So I was in Irvine, Costa Mesa, Fullerton, Yorba Linda, the whole round robin of beautiful Southern California and Orange County.
Excellent. And I was in the Central Valley. I was specifically in the district that is represented by Jeff Denham. He's a four-term congressman there, and I was in the lovely confines of Turlock and Modesto and Banta, which I didn't even know where that was. It's kind of near Tracy, and Manteca and places like that. Okay, so let's get right to it. What of these four districts that you're down there checking out, which ones are the most flippable and which ones are the least flippable?
Probably the ones that the Republicans are most likely to lose is California 49. And it's now going to be an open seat. It's currently held by Republican Daryl Issa, but he announced his retirement. He especially announced his retirement after winning re-election by just a couple thousand votes last time.
Yeah.
Probably decided it wasn't worth making a try. But that's a district that straddles the Orange County-San Diego County border. And Mike Levin is the Democrat running against Diane Harkey, who's a member of the State Board of Equalization. And it hasn't gone well for Harkey. She doesn't have the money that Levin has, doesn't have the backing. And you'd like to say that the Republican Party has pulled their support for her, but they never had it there in the first place.
They pulled zero. They didn't even invest.
That looks like a pretty good Democratic pickup. The other districts, there's Harley Rota's the Democrat running against a longtime Republican member, 15-term Dana Rohrabacher, and that's the coastal, runs all down the coast of Orange County. Then
what's that one look like? Do you think that Rota can pull that out? The polls they're pretty tight now.
It's an interesting race because Rohrabacher is one of a kind. I mean, I went to an event he had with senior citizens bust in from what used to be Leisure World to a cannabis dispensary in Santa Ana, where they could look at their vaporizers and teas and everything else. And he stood up and shook everybody's hands and told them why marijuana should be totally legalized in California.
He's been out. He was out front on marijuana when it wasn't cool.
He has been there for a long time. On the other hand, he's also tons of stuff involved in the Russian investigation. Purportedly, Putin and the Russians have their own code name for him. And he's a one-of-a-kind person.
Yeah.
And
surfer.
He's a surfer, yes. Who's he's also in favor of oil rigs off the coast, which would hurt the surfing somewhat.
He's a bundle of contradictions, isn't
he? He is. And he's running against Harley Rota, who's a wealthy former real estate investor. And
what's he like as a candidate? Does he have any kind of charisma?
Yeah, Rota has a lot of charisma. He's a salesman. He's got a good look to him. He's a former Republican who said he turned independent because he didn't agree with the party. And he gets out there. But the problem is that, you know, Rohrabacher's been there for 15 terms, 30 years. He grew up in the area. He's known in the area. And a lot of people there are going to find it hard to vote against him.
He wins. When I was down there last year, he wins like by double digits. He doesn't even just win. He wins like he's like Barbara Lee winning, you know, like by like 10 to 15 points every time.
Yeah, the problem he's got, though, is that he's always won that way and has never really faced a hard race.
And he hasn't raised money before.
And this one is a very hard race, and he is being outraised by the max. He hasn't taken in much money. And it's just a matter of, you know, who shows up on election day on this one.
Are there the Democrats in that district to win? Would it be the Democrats and independents?
There are not enough Democrats to win anything in Orange County. Howsoever, what's been changing a lot in the county is no party preference voters, declined estates, independents. A lot of the voters, and especially a lot of the young voters, are moving into that, in saying in not so many words, a plague on both your parties. Mm-hmm. And these, there was a blog post by Mark Baldessari the other day in the PPIC, the Public Policy Institute of California. And what he said is that these numbers are going berserk as far as declined estate voters go, and that these are, in many cases, Democrat-leaning voters. Certainly, again, all those four districts went for Hillary, and Orange County itself went for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. There hasn't been a person on the top of the ticket in 20 years, a Republican on the top of the ticket they haven't voted for. The last time they voted for a Democrat in a presidential race was Franklin Roosevelt in 1936.
Ooh, wow.
So it's a sea change in that county right now.
But we'll hit the other races in a second, but Orange County is still, what you found, is a fundamentally conservative place. I mean, it's still a place like on statewide ballot measures, they, you know, on stuff like plastic bag bans, they, you know, they don't go for all this Bay Area stuff.
Yeah,
it's still a conservative place intrinsically, correct?
A lot of conservative people, sure. But again, you know, this isn't your grandfather's Orange County. I mean, if you look, since 2000, the number of Republicans has dropped from 49% to 36%, while the Democrats have gone up a couple of notches. No party preference has gone from 14 to 27. But the other thing, if you look at this stuff, is the demographics. The number of whites in the county since between 2000 and 2017 has dropped from 51% to 41%. Latinos have gone up from 31 to 34%. Asians from 14 to 21%. These are younger voters. They're in many cases, you know, first time or second time voters, and they are not the sort of Midwest transplants that made Orange County grow.
And these voters of color, these new voters of color, are they predominantly voting for Democrats?
They are predominantly voting for Democrats. They are sure, you get the people that came over, the Vietnamese that came over with the boat people in the early 70s or late 70s. In many cases, they were strongly anti-communist, and that brought them directly to the Republican Party. But Democrats in the county are pretty much like Democrats in the rest of the Latinos in the county are pretty much like Latinos in the rest of the state.
Yeah.
They trend Democratic. The newer Asian voters also trend Democratic. Younger voters trend Democratic. It's tough times for the Republicans statewide and also in Orange County.
And those, for example, those first generation Vietnamese voters may have been anti-communist and hardline Republican, but their kids are not.
Their kids, to a large extent, have forgotten the Vietnam War, like all kids their age and such. So the stuff that was really important to their folks isn't as important to them.
So we have two other races in Orange County that you were checking out down there. One involves, it's another open seat. And tell us about that. Gil Cisneros, a Democrat, versus Young Kim, a Republican, former state assemblywoman.
That's the 39th district, and it's way up in the northern part of the county. Mm-hmm. Fullerton area, Yorba Linda, places like that. Interestingly, it was Ed Royce was the congressman from there for years, a Republican, and he retired this year also because one reason is, like everybody else, he knew he was going to face a tough race, and who needs it?
Right.
Young Kim was an assemblywoman for 2 years and then lost in 2016. But the real key here is that for 20 years, she was an aide to Royce and worked in his office in the county. She knows everybody. Everybody knows her. And it's one of those districts where Gil Cisneros, who's running, the Democrat running against her, is trying to tie her desperately to Trump. People are there are saying that she's Trump's apprentice. Everything she's always done has been like him. She would be an instant vote for him. Whereas when you talk to her, she said, this election is local. People know me. They know I want to do good things for this district. I've been in here a long time. And, you know, it's about the stuff that we can get, not about the national issues or not about Trump. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
What do you think? What's your call on that one? Do you think that Young Kim pulls that out?
I think probably she does. But the wild card there and the wild card everywhere else is who shows up on Election Day. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are working to get in the what they call the occasional voters, the ones that typically only show up on a presidential race. These are renters. They're young people. They're less wealthy people. And if they can get those out, if they can make this turnout a general election turnout and not a midterm turnout, they're in good shape.
And we're going to sound like a broken record for the next few minutes talking about turnout and who turns out, but that is the case. The track record in midterm elections is dreadful for Democrats in general, and specifically for people of color, young voters. So that's why we keep repeating this, and that's going to be the case all the time. We were trying to figure out, as is everyone else, is all this enthusiasm we see on TV and online and everywhere else and have been writing about, is that actually going to translate into votes?
It's a hard one to say. What the Democrats are hoping is they would like to make all these elections about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is, you know, a very unpopular person in California. I mean, even in Orange County, you know, the numbers are against Trump. So if you can say this person is going to be Donald Trump and a vote for a Democrat in one of these midterm races is a vote against Donald Trump, well, that's a good thing. They bring those voters out and they have a real good chance of winning some of these races. However, if it's the same as it always is, you know, midterms go Republican.
You have one final race to talk about there, which we haven't covered, which is the, let's see, we hit
this would
11.
Be the 45th congressional district where Republican Mimi Walters is in there. Again,
incumbent, a favorite of the California Democratic Party. She calls herself brother and sister with Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader.
Yeah,
will that help her?
She's a Republican, and she's running as a Republican. What's not going to help her so much is that she has also been a Trump supporter, total Trump supporter. She's also been is on the wrong side of a lot of environmental issues as far as Democrats are concerned, has actually been in favor of oil drilling off the Orange County coast, which is, you know, one of those things that crosses party lines to a large extent. She's running the Democrat running against her is Katie Porter, who's a UC Irvine law professor. And what's really interesting is she is a very, very progressive UC Irvine law professor. Mm-hmm. She's been involved in a lot of consumer actions against the banking industry and that.
When Kamala Harris wanted to get the payout from the banks several years ago during the housing crisis, she turned to Katie Porter to help her figure out how much the bank should owe, correct?
Right. Yeah. But the thing is okay, maybe Orange County is ready to elect a Democrat, but are they really ready to elect a progressive Democrat who talks about Medicare for all and everything else like that?
Right.
And that's a question.
Yeah, one of her first endorsements was from Senator Elizabeth Warren, which the Republicans have just handed
her
like a big
lead. Who she worked for, and that was one of her law school professors, was Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren is they're very close.
So you're not sure if Orange County, they may be transitioning to be a more a purple place, but maybe not that blue.
Well, what's interesting, though, is that just now, this election, sure, in 2016, but 2018 is a presidential election where Democrats typically do better and typically bring out the people.
2020,
I'm sorry. Bring out more people. And beyond that, 2022 is reapportionment. So people are going to be running in new districts that would, to an extent, certainly represent the changing forces in Orange County. So if the Democrats win in this year, in November, next month, they could hold those seats for an awful long time.
And what did you sense, before we move on, I just wanted a couple of words about where I was in the Denham district. And there you have one of the factors that you're talking about is running against Trump. Josh Harder, who's a former venture capitalist, he grew up in Turlock. He spent like 6 months or so living in San Francisco, but yet Denham calls him Bay Area Harder. And he says,
San Francisco Democrat.
San Francisco Democrat. Denham is essentially running against San Francisco. You know, if everyone's running, you know, trying to tie people to Trump, he's running against San Francisco. The commercials are, one of them features Harder and Nancy Pelosi in a car spewing money out of the back. And so it's all the Bay Area. And he has raised a ton of money from the Bay Area. At the same time, Denham has taken this so far that when he was asked at a debate a few weeks ago if he believed that climate change was man-made, he said he declined to say that, but he said it was Bay Area made. Well, which I was like, come on, dude. You know, you can.
Well, what's interesting is that all these candidates have in common for the Democrats is that none of them have ever run for office before.
Right. These are all
rookies. Yeah. And, you know, the argument and what they're saying, if you ask them, they all spew the party line, which is after the 2016 election, I realized I had to get involved and everything. But they're also looking at the part that poll after poll after poll, incumbents aren't popular. People do not like the way government is going, Republicans and Democrats alike, and they won't say, let's see new blood. That's what brought Trump in, as a matter of fact, and there's nothing to indicate that people have changed their views.
Right. I've always been dubious about people who never had previous office-holding experience. Maybe not so much for a House seat, but you know, when you get the Senate and certainly running for president or governor, you'd want to see someone who knows the business at some level. But that's out the window now. And this is going to be a real test to see if, you know, it's sort of another effect of the Trump presidency.
Well, just one other thing to add is they may be rookies at running for office, but they have just raised absolutely amazing amounts of money.
Yeah.
I mean, one race we haven't talked about, Andrew Jantz, who's running in the Fresno area against Republican Devin Nunes, has raised more than $4 million. And that's an incredible amount for any congressional race. And it's even more for a race where he is the longest of long shots to take out a very popular Republican.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick note of races we're not discussing here and we're not going to be writing about because they are look less flippable, should we say.
Yes.
One of them would be the Jantz-Nunes race. Another would be the Valadao-TJ Cox race, where the Democrats have pulled money from that. And the other one is the
50th, with Duncan Hunter.
Duncan Hunter.
Duncan Hunter.
Yes.
Running down there, even though he's under indictment, it's such a strong Republican district that it's very, very hard for a Democrat to make inroads. And one we haven't mentioned is the 25th congressional district, on the very edges of the desert areas of Los Angeles County, where Democrat Katie Hill is running against Republican Steve Knight. And that should be a very close race.
That will be a close race. We're not writing about this, but, and we're also not writing about Tom McClintock, which he looks like he's going to be reelected against Jessica Morris, another first-time candidate. And so we will not be discussing those.
And if they come in and win, well.
Well, we'll be eating crow right here. okay, so what did you see? You know, we've heard about all this grassroots energy. I certainly saw it in Turlock, of all places. 369 people gathering for just one of the canvassing expeditions going on there. This is a lot of the swing left, the local groups, the Democratic Party, all these people. There were tons of volunteers there to go knock on doors in Turlock. And again, many of these people, as Congressman Denham would be fond of pointing out, were from the Bay Area. What did you see in Orange County in terms of like that kind of grassroots energy?
Well, what you certainly saw were a lot of young people. I went to rallies and by Cisneros and Katie Porter, and they had a lot of young people there, a lot of them working phones. There wasn't a walk day, but a lot of them were phones. A lot of them were doing the work that needs to be done around the headquarters. I was at a Rohrabacher event, and what he had, at this one at least, was a storefront in Laguna Niguel, but he had the head
That's a pricey storefront.
That's a pricey storefront. But what he had was the head of the Republican National Committee. He had Jim Brulte, the head of the state Republican Party, and a lot of leaders like that. But when you looked inside, it was a lot older crew, a lot of people that had been doing this for a long time, a lot of what you would call old Orange County. And, you know,
in other words, old white people.
Mostly old white people.
Yes.
Yeah. Though I don't like the old, say older.
Older.
Mature.
Mature. I'm sorry.
Again, it was a very different vibe, and they were making the calls, sure, and everything else like that, but it just felt different. It felt very much like the sort of stuff you'd seen in years before.
So it wasn't the same busload that went to the dispensary. They didn't take them back after that to make calls. That would actually be some good calls. Be one call for one. Someone would stay on a call for like hours. Just one person.
Just chatting.
Just chatting. All right. If you had to, this is one of the final weeks of, by the way, there's a good time to plug our stories that we'll be running in
Sunday's
Chronicle. So after that, after those stories appear, there'll be one weekend left before Election Day. If you were to suggest people make one road trip, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, where would you go to affect change in a House race in 2018?
Republican or Democrat, I think I would send them to Jeff Denham's district down in the Central Valley.
Road trip to Modesto.
Absolutely, because, you know, that's one thing where turnout is absolutely going to shape it. I mean, 2 years ago, he ran a close race against a candidate that wasn't as well-funded and in a situation that wasn't as Democrat-leaning as it is today. So it's one they definitely have to hang on to. Now, remember, the one thing we haven't mentioned is that the reason this is important is because if Democrats can turn 23 seats anywhere in the United States, anywhere across the country, they take control of the House and they make Donald Trump's life miserable for the next 2 years with investigations and everything else. If Republicans can hold them to even one less than that, 22, they've still got control. So every single one of these races is make or break for the parties. So if I'm a Democrat or if I'm a Republican that wants to make a change and wants to do something, you have to go out and try and knock on doors and everything else.
So if you're a betting man, and I know you are a horse player sans parallel. How many seats would you bet? What's the over-under? We'll go with gambling terms. What's the over-under on seats that Democrats will flip in California towards those 23?
I'd say two.
I would agree with you.
Two, and if it was three or if it was one, it wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, their talk is about, well, we have seven seats that we're going to take and maybe three others. That would be a change.
Yes. But that seems
a change that likely isn't going to happen.
Right. I think the person making that change might have been at the dispensary with Dana. All right, big man. Thank you so much for being on.
Always a pleasure.
We will see. We will return again election night, I'm sure, in this small room with the 17 people around the table.
And talking about how we were wrong.
I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. And you got some travel tips about where to go on your weekend adventure to Canvas. I'd like to thank the big man, John Wildermuth, for being my guest today. I'd like to thank Fernanda Diaz, the Chronicle's managing editor for digital, for producing this podcast. Because whether you're in Modesto or Yorba Linda, it's all political.